Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, this morning is the kind of message that normally I wouldn't preach until those of you who have just come as students would have been here for a while longer. But God is accelerating everything He is doing amongst us at present. And so I'm believing that you will be able to take on board what God is saying, because this message would change your whole perception of who Christ is in your life now and what it means to actually live the gospel. We know that Jesus made a series of statements about himself, preceded by the phrase, I am. Not I was or I will be, but I am. Now, what Jesus is today, he was. And he always will be. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But for us, where we are now in our walk with God, he is the great I am. That means he is who he is. And we have already discovered that when we are born again, Christ comes to live in us. So the I am comes to live in you. He comes by the power of his Spirit, and that Spirit is the Spirit of the risen, glorified Christ. Now, one of these I am phrases we find in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Now, bread in Scripture stands for satisfaction. So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he is saying, I am the only one who can bring you satisfaction. And when Jesus teaches us to pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, and so on, give us today our daily bread, is not asking for a loaf of Hovis. It's saying, give me everything today that will satisfy me, that will meet every need in my life, so that I can be devoted to the work of your kingdom. Now, the importance of this is that in Christ, we have our full satisfaction, our total fulfillment, the answer to every need. The answer to the needs in your life are not outside of you, they are within you, because Christ is within you. So faith is to draw on the life of Christ in you. And you will find that as you learn to do that, so he will satisfy every need. He will release into your life everything that you need in order to live out your life in loving obedience to him. Now, if Christ is the bread of life, if he is our satisfaction, if he is therefore our fulfillment, there is no satisfaction outside of Christ. There is no fulfillment outside of Christ. That actually everything we will ever need is contained in Christ. So in putting Christ in you, God has already given you everything that you could ever need for the rest of your life. And it's only by faith that you draw that which he has supplied into your experience. So the answer to your need is never outside of yourself. It's not that we are praying for God to come upon us and do something. God has already come upon us and given us himself, and you can't improve on that gift. Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, says in the second letter, chapter 5, that we are a new creation, that the old has gone and the new has come. But just before that, he says, you used to have a very worldly view of Christ, but that is no longer the case. He's really saying now you have a totally new and different perception of who Christ is, of who Christ is in your life. Now, let us sort of unpack this. In what sense has Christ become our satisfaction because he is the bread of life? Now, we were rejoicing last week that we have been made righteous before God because of all that Jesus has done for us on the cross. That righteousness is a gift. Right now, a question. What is righteousness? How would you define righteousness? Just think of your answer. The correct answer is that the definition of righteousness is Christ. How many of you got it right? You see, what Paul says in the first letter to Corinthians is that he is our wisdom from God. He is our righteousness. The righteousness in your life is Christ. He has made you righteous in God's sight, but you don't have any righteousness. You do not have any righteousness of your own. Your only righteousness is Christ. So you have to learn to live as Christ is your righteousness. It's a bit of a giveaway by now, but how would you define holiness? You see, the next statement he makes is Christ is your holiness. There's no point in you trying to be holy, because I can tell you from long experience, you will fail. No matter how hard you try, you will fail. But it's a pointless task to try to be holy, because you have to accept that Christ is your holiness, and he is perfect holiness, and he is in you. So you have righteousness because Christ is your righteousness, and he was within you. You have holiness because Christ is your holiness, and he is within you. So anything in your life that is not of Christ is not righteous and is not holy and actually has no place there. Now, what did Jesus say about those who would follow him? He said, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself. He did not say, let him deny his sin. If you deny yourself, you don't try to be righteous. You accept that Christ is your righteousness. You don't try to be holy. You accept that Christ is your holiness. That actually you deny the good things about yourself as well as the bad things. Because what you recognize is, well, that's just me. Even though it was good, it's just me. And whatever is just me cannot compare to who Christ is. So any righteous thing that I could do is nothing compared with the righteousness of Christ. Any holy action I could do is nothing compared to the holiness of Christ. So if I deny myself, I deny the good things about myself and actually recognize what Jesus says. Really, as far as he is concerned, there is nothing good about me. Why? Because I cannot compare myself with him. And he has made his gift to me, and his gift is Christ in me. So he is my redemption. He is the one that has paid the price for me so that now I belong to God. He is my wisdom from God. I don't need any wisdom of my own. I don't need worldly wisdom. He is my wisdom. Christ is my wisdom. If he is the bread of life, he is my life. He is my peace, Paul says. I can't create peace. I can't make up peace. I can't try to be at peace. Christ is my peace. If I'm at one with him, I will have peace. Because he is my peace. He is my joy. If I submit myself to him so that I'm moving in the purposes of God, I will be filled with his joy. These things I have said to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. My joy will be full because his joy is in me. He is my joy. He is my peace. I've got to stop trying to love people. Because if he has poured his agape love into my heart, he is the love within me, and he has to love people through me. He has to express his love through my life. Not my human love. My human love is nothing compared to the love of the Holy Spirit, which he will express through my life if I depend and trust in him. You see, the mistake that many Christians make is to believe that God has put Christ in us to change us. He has not. You've heard me say that again and again, those of you who have been around here. He has not put Christ in there to change you. He has put Christ in there to replace you. He has replaced you with himself so he can express his life through your life. That's why last week I was using the word transform rather than change. He transforms what happens in our life by the truth that Christ works through us. So all this prayer that you hear some people make, like, oh Lord, help me. He says, no, why should I? I don't want to help you. I have put my son in you to replace you. Why should I help you? If I help you, then you're going to do it. And what my purpose is for me to do it in you and through you. Very good. That even if I was to help you, it still wouldn't be good enough to satisfy me. And if it doesn't satisfy the Lord, it won't satisfy us. You see, you can look at yourself and still see a lot of unrighteousness. But if you look at Christ, you see, well, he is my righteousness, and I'm totally acceptable before God because he is my righteousness. You can look at yourself and see unholy things. You can see sometimes that you lack wisdom. You can see sometimes that you're not at peace. You can see sometimes that you don't feel joyful. But he is your righteousness. He is your holiness. He is your joy. He is your peace. He is your holiness. He is your everything. Because he is the bread of life, and if you feed on him, you are fully satisfied with all that he is. He is actually the love that is to be expressed in your life. This is why the scripture says you're to love one another fervently with a pure heart. Why? Because the love of God is pure. That's what makes it different from human love, emotional love, which always has a selfish element in it. You know, what do I get back for myself? But the love of God does not even desire or require a response. So you love the unlovely. You love those who don't love you. You love those that it would be impossible to love otherwise. You love those for whom you have absolutely no feelings. Because this is the love of God. Totally different from your love. This is the transforming power of the gospel. And you see, it's not that God needs to put any of these qualities in you. He already has. Christ is your patience. Christ is your gentleness. Christ is even your humility. You see, Jesus said, I am gentle and humble in heart. That is the one who has been put in you. This is why to God pride is such an abomination, because it's a contradiction to the humility of Christ that is in you. That if you depend upon Christ, you will never rise up in pride. You will always be humble before God, before others. Are we getting this? You see, pride puts self at the center. Humility puts Christ at the center. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. So when God organized his plan of salvation, he decided to give to those who repented and turned to him in faith everything. In one go, in one moment, in one second, when you were born again, he gave you everything. He gave you Christ. And there is nothing of any value outside of Christ. You see, the scripture says that if you're saved, you have eternal life. But then it also says he is eternal life. You only have eternal life because you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you are in him and he is in you. He is even your grace. He is mercy. He is everything that God wants you to be because you're made in his image. And because through the cross, you are restored to his image. Come on. So you see, when Jesus was promising the Holy Spirit to the disciples, he said that he is the Spirit of truth who will guide us into all the truth. This is the truth of the gospel. Let me tell you, the number of people that know and believe this in the Christian church is minimal. That's why the church is so weak and ineffective in its mission in the world. Because churches are full of people that are trying to be something, try to improve, try to be changed, instead of accepting they cannot change, that Christ is their all in all. This is a statement that Paul made. Christ is your all. If Christ is your all, you have nothing outside of him. There is nothing of any value outside of him. You need nothing outside of him.
Right. Very good.
Why add to God's all? Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So we are blessed.
Amen.
But I mean, you do actually know this, but you haven't known it. Because you all know the scripture, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. When did he do that? When he put Christ in you. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Because it's not the human Christ who lives in you. It's the risen, glorified, ascended, victorious Christ. So he is your victory. See, it doesn't matter what man says about you. The only thing of any consequence is what Christ says about you. What God says about you. Men will say all kinds of things about you. You learn to disregard that stuff. Because unless it lines up with what Christ says about you, it's not the truth. And if it's not the truth, it's a lie. And if it's a lie, it's come from Satan, not from God. Because according to Jesus, he is the father of all lies. So it's good to know the truth. But knowing the truth is not the same as living in the truth. God hasn't brought you here to study the truth. He's brought you here to learn how to live the truth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Very good. Yes.
I did something yesterday I'd never done before. I made the mistake of sitting in a chair and standing up. And as I stood up, I did something to the base of my spine that was absolute agony. I've seen other people do this kind of thing and felt sorry for them, because usually things like that persist for a while before they get right. Last night, I couldn't move. I sat in a chair and I could hardly get up. It took me I don't know how long just to stand up. I couldn't even stand straight. So through this night, Jesus, you are not just my healer, you are my healing. There's a slight twinge there now, but apart from that, by the grace of God, you see, he is my healing. I wouldn't say, oh, Lord, heal me. I never said, oh, Lord, heal me. I just thank you, Lord, you are my healing. You are within me. You're at work in me. I will be up there doing the keynote. Because I know God had been laying this message on my heart the last couple of days for this morning. I thought, right, the enemy's worried about this one. Well, he's not going to prevent it. Because you see, when you know that Christ is your victory, that is the end of the enemy's
Absolutely.
Victories in your life.
That's it. Very good.
So you don't need to fight to establish a victory of your own if Christ is your victory. That's why the scripture says he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right, now then. I just referred to that healing for a good reason. Notice I said that he is not only my healer, he's my healing. Now you see, Christ is the righteous one. So he becomes my righteousness. It's not a righteousness of mine own. He is my righteousness. He is my righteousness. Because he is righteous, he is my righteousness. Righteousness is the outworking of who he is as the righteous one. Righteousness is the activity that comes from who he is. He is not only holy, he is my holiness. He is the activity that comes out of the fact that he is holy. He is my peace, so that I can experience his peace in my life, because he is the Prince of Peace. He is my healing because he is the healer. You see, you can still believe that he's the healer and believe that somehow he's out there and you need to get him in here to get the healing. But actually, if he is your healer and he is living in you, you have the healing within you. Try believing it and see what happens. Instead of waiting to be healed, you thank God, my healing is within me because you are within me. Thank you, Lord, that you're releasing that healing in my life, in my body, in my circumstances. But you see, this is true for everything else. Whatever he is, he becomes to you in your experience. So you can't get righteousness without the righteous one. You can't have holiness without the holy one. You can't have healing without the healer. You can't have provision without the provider. You see, you hear sometimes people say, well, you should seek the giver, not the gift. Wrong. He is both the giver and the gift. That if actually you seek the giver, you get the gift. That's why the scripture says that we are to seek the Lord. It rather got dumbed out. Somebody give me an Old Testament a minute. Thank you. With the music. Chad, you must learn when somebody at the beginning of a meeting gets up and reads a scripture like Pastor Clive did, dumb the music right down so we can hear the word. Because it was sort of having to fight to be heard. But just turn, if you've got your Old Testament with you, to Jeremiah chapter 30 for a moment. I'm just saying, I'm not correcting you publicly, but I'm saying it to all the musicians. Just learn to, if the word, you always give way to the word. And the music had been loud, you know, and then up came Pastor Clive with the word. Everybody said, psh. You just continue playing quietly, and then you can up it after the word. But we honor the word. We don't fight the word. We honor the word. Oh, yeah. Have you got the NIV? I'm familiar with that. Where are we? Jeremiah. I gave this. I've got to remember where it was now. It was Jeremiah 30, wasn't it, I gave you? Boom, boom, boom. Oh, yeah, here we are. Verse 18. Well, actually, I'll start from verse 19. From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the song of rejoicing. Amen. I will add to their numbers, yes, and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honor and they will not be disdained. Their children will be as in days of old, and their community will be established before me. I will punish all who oppress them. Their leader will be one of their own. Their ruler will arise from among them. I will bring him near, and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord. That's the thing. Who will devote himself to be close to me? Because you see, if you live close to the Christ who is in you, then everything that he does and has becomes yours in experience. You live close to the righteous one and his righteousness is seen in your life. You live close to the holy one and his holiness is seen in your life because he is your righteousness, he is your holiness. You live close to him and his grace is seen in your life. You live close to him, his healing, his provision, his mercy, his power. See, Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You have received the Spirit of the risen Christ. So where is the power? The power is within you. Amen. So who is he who will devote himself to be close to the Lord? I mean, Christ is in you. God has done his part in drawing near to you. How near will you draw to him? In prayer, in your life, in your attitudes, in what you believe. So that your natural thinking doesn't keep cutting across the revelation of the word and you don't keep trying to do something or trying to be something or trying to be somebody. Very good. You know, one of the curses in the church are those who want to raise themselves up in leadership because they're always the wrong people to be in leadership. God determines who to raise up. But he raises up the humble. He raises up those who do not seek to promote themselves, but seek to promote Christ. Those whose whole attitude, whose lives are filled with Jesus, whose vision is filled with Jesus. You see, what is the vision of Kingdom Faith? The vision of Kingdom Faith is Jesus. Because, I mean, revival for a generation will only come out of who Jesus is and what Jesus does. And if we're a revived people, it's what Jesus Christ does in us and through us. So who will devote himself to be close to the Lord? Well, I, for one, I don't know about anybody else, but I believe God wants every one of us here to devote himself to be close to the Lord so that his righteousness, his holiness, his power, his life, his grace, his mercy, his peace, his joy, everything that he is becomes evident in our lives and so impacts the world around us. See, this is not being selfish or self-indulgent, because the one who lived closest to the Lord during his lifetime was Jesus. And look what he did. Look at the impact he made. And he could say, the Father and I are one. Well, we can say, the Lord Jesus Christ and I are one. And if we're one with the Lord Jesus, we're one with the Father. This is the very thing that Jesus prayed for. And you see, if you look at yourself, how dare you say that you're one with Christ? But if you look at Christ and what he's done, then if you don't say I'm one with Christ, you're denying the revelation of truth of what he has already done by coming to live in you. How can you say Christ is in me and you're not one with him? He has made himself one with you. He took the initiative. He came. He chose you. He called you. He came to live in you. So you are, he has made himself one with you. So what does he desire? For you to live at one with him. I don't know how Christians say, I don't know if the Lord cares about me. And he's living in them. I don't know if the Lord knows about this situation. And he's living in them. Oh, I feel so far from the Lord. And he's living in them. What has happened? Where have they got their perception? Where is their focus? Right. I shall start preaching in a moment.
Come on.
I haven't got any pigs plopping in the water, but I tell you, there are some people that have got some pigs that need plopping in the water. They need to get them out of their minds, out of their thinking. They need to focus on the truth. You see, it says in the epistle to the Hebrews that you have been made perfect forever. Well, now you look at yourself and you say, come on, that's dreamland. But then you look at the truth and see that Christ, the perfect one, is in you and that he is eternal life. So from God's perception, you have been made perfect forever. Look, are you ready? Shall I tell you why all this is true? Because there's only one person on earth that God loves. Paul talks of Jesus as the one whom God loves. You see, God loves the perfect. He can see his son as the perfect one. But therefore, he loves all who are in Christ. Well, what about the sinners? Well, he loved them by dying for them, but he doesn't love them while they're in rebellion against him. They are living in condemnation, and what Jesus says is that when they come to faith, they're taken out of condemnation and brought into God's love. He doesn't love the rebellious. How can he love rebellion? Just look in Scripture and see what he does to the rebellious. You see, we've got this woozy idea of love without any judgment. And the whole truth of salvation is that God has saved us from the judgment we deserve. And now he sees us in Christ. He sees us in the one he loves. You see, the Scripture says you are accepted in the Beloved. You don't have an acceptance of your own apart from Christ. You are accepted because he is your righteousness, and so you are accepted in the Beloved. You cannot, you know, without holiness, no one will see the Lord, but you will see the Lord because Christ is your holiness. Not because you have any holiness of your own. Not because you will do a self-improvement program until you go to glory. But you will go to heaven because he is your holiness. So when you come before the Lord on the day of judgment, he will see Christ and he will see the blood and he will see what Christ has done and he will say, past.
Come on.
Tick that one off, Gabriel. You'll find that name in the book of life. Because that one's in Christ. In the one whom God loves. So does God love you? Of course he does, because you're in Christ. So what does Jesus say? Abide in my love.
Yes.
Stay in my love. Now, he wouldn't say that if it was automatic for everyone to stay in his love. It'd be a meaningless statement. And just before he went to the cross, I don't think Jesus was in the mood for meaningless statements. And he said how we are to stay in his love. You will stay in my love if you obey my commands. Well, what is his command? To love with his love. But we can love with his love because he is our love and he has put that love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit so he can love people in us and through us. You see, we get all worried to cost, but there's no cost. The Holy Spirit is not worried about cost. Christ in you is not worried about cost. He's already paid it. The only one who's worried about cost is you, your flesh. And when you get worried about cost, it's your flesh that's rising up. It's not the spirit within you that's rising up. The spirit within you says, get on with it. Your flesh says, oh, what's it going to cost? The spirit says, it doesn't matter. It's the cost is paid. You just get on with it.
Very good. Very good.
It's called the Christian faith. Let me tell you what the Christian faith is. It's Christ. It's not a series of services, meetings. It's not churches and denominations. The Christian faith is Christ. Christianity is Christ. Your life is Christ personified. Christ in your person. So your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. So Peter says, whoever claims to live in Christ, whoever claims to be a Christian, must walk as Jesus did. How can you walk as Jesus did if you try? You can only walk as Jesus did if you stop trying and trust instead. You trust Christ in every situation to enable you to take the next step as Jesus would. Enable you to speak as Jesus would, to think as Jesus would, to pray as Jesus would, to believe as Jesus would, to act as Jesus would. Why? Because he is in you to do that. See, this is the option that we have. Either he will do it or you will do it. This is why you need to read the great revelation. Not I, but Christ. So this is going to be some place filled with all you folk that are living this. Self isn't going to get a look in, is it? Everybody around this place living Jesus. Whew. Or rather, Jesus living out his life in every one of us. Can you see that that is the key to unity? The Christ in you makes you one with the Christ in me, despite our differences. That's why division is so much a work of the devil, because it cuts right across the unity for which Christ prayed. Father, may they be one as you and I are one. You in me and I in you, and I in them in me and I in them. I'll have to do my three cups, my four cups. Some of you haven't seen that yet. What a Lord. So, if this is the gospel according to the scriptures, why doesn't everybody know this and live accordingly? Because of religion. You see, religion is man trying to do for God what is useless, because God's already done it for man. When I used to lead evangelistic groups, the first question I would always ask people is, what do you think a Christian is?
Right.
And we would go around the room, and these were non-believers, so what is their perception of a Christian? And every one of them would say, a Christian is someone who does something, leads a good life, goes to church, believes, or something, you know. And I would say at the end, well, I'd say it very gently, I'd say, I'm afraid you are all wrong. A Christian is not one who does something. A Christian is someone for whom God has done something.
Yeah.
And what they came to see then is a Christian is one through whom God, in whom God lives and through whom he works. This is the heart of revival. That people stop trying to do things for God, stop trying to convert the world. And they just get hold of the truth and let the truth get hold of them. And before they know where they are, people are turning to Christ. People are being drawn to Christ. Because we won't win the world, but Jesus Christ will. So this is a liberating message, because it frees you from the demon of self-effort. And releases into your life the spirit of faith.
Come on.
And the scripture says, with this same spirit of faith that was operating in God and in Jesus, with this same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. You see, if you look at yourself, you can rightly say, I can't. But in Christ, there are no can'ts. All things are possible for him. And therefore, Jesus said, all things become possible for those who believe in him. Because if you trust in the Christ in you, there's no can'ts. You can't say, I can't. Might be true about you, but it's not true of Christ in you. So if you say, I can't, that's just a confession of sin, that you're trusting in yourself and not in the Christ in you. Forgiveness is possible for that sin. But repentance is therefore turning away from your can't and turning to his can. I can do all things through him. Praise God. So what a liberating truth the gospel is. And you see, because Jesus is the truth, there is no truth outside of him. Because he is the way, there is no way to live outside of him. There's a way to die outside of him, but there's no way to live outside of him. All those who are outside of Christ are dying. All those who are in Christ are living. I'm not dying, I'm living. I mean, when this carcass has had enough, I'm still living.
That's it.
Because I have eternal life, God's gift, God's presence in me. Hallelujah. He's delivered you from death and has brought you to life in Christ. And he's put Christ into you. Hallelujah. See, I'm better already because I've just been preaching the truth. Let me tell you, if anything's wrong with you, just start preaching the
Absolutely.
Truth and see what happens.
That's it.
Find someone just to talk
yes,
the truth to.
It's true. Yeah.
The twinge is gone. God is good. So there's not much more to say, really. All your students can go home now. All you've got to do is just live Christ and let Christ live his life in you, and that's it. But what God will do now, of course, is to bring us together into a unity of faith, because that's what has the powerful effect. Not just an individual, but the body being united in faith. Because, listen, the church is... It's the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. Why is it the body of Christ? Because that's who we are. We are the body of Christ. Why? Because Christ is in each one of us.
Yes.
And we're called to live Christ. Hallelujah. You're allowed to smile. It's good news. See, the body of Christ is not a title. It's a description. It's a description of what God intends his church to be. People use it as a title, and all kinds of stuff that goes on that has nothing to do with the body of Christ.
That's true.
But when we get back to the truth of who Christ is, and he is in us. He is my everything. I don't have anything of any value outside of Christ. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
So anything apart from him is worth
nothing.
So praise God.
Amen.
To put it sort of very simply, we've got it made. All we have to do is trust him. Instead of trying, trust him. Instead of trying to live righteous, trying to live right, trying to live good, trying to get healed, trying to get our prayers answered, witness.
Yeah.
It's all Christ in you. You won't convert anyone, but Christ in you will give it a good go.
Amen.
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 Let's all stand. Praise God. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord and thank Him that He is the bread of life. Your total satisfaction. Your total provision in every way. He is the light of life. He doesn't give you light. He is the light. He doesn't give you peace. He is your peace. He doesn't give you joy. He is your joy. My joy in you, He said. He is your love. He is your life. He is your power. He is your authority. He is your grace. He is your mercy. He is your righteousness. He is your holiness. He is your redemption. He is your victory. He is. Because He's the great I Am. Whatever He says I am means He is in you. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank You, Lord. You're not making enough noise. You don't sound thankful enough. Ora la basata bakara siturisato ba. Ora la basata bakara siturisato ba. The scripture says you lack no good thing. How can you have Christ and lack anything good? Just thank the Lord you don't lack anything. That Christ is your all in all. He is your everything. Oh, praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. The secret is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank the Lord that you have the secret. Now, why don't you tell the Lord you're going to devote yourself to live close to Him? Because He has come so close to you to live in you, you're going to devote yourself to live close to Him, to trust Him, so that He is your life, He is your love, He is your power, He is everything in your life. Christ is going to flow out of your life from this day on as never before. He is going to express Himself in your life like He was never able to before. Today is a watershed. You're crossing over a line today. You're going to live the Christ life. The Christ life. So you deny yourself, even the good things about yourself, even the things you've admired about yourself, they are nothing compared with Christ. Oh, hallelujah. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Not in your strength, not in your ability, not in all those good thoughts you have about yourself. No, 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 no. Have good thoughts about Jesus, about Christ in you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, all my pride is rubbish in your sight. Absolute rubbish. Forgive, Lord, every prideful thought, every prideful attitude. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, O God. And thank you that you are my everything. That everything about me that is of value is Christ in me.
everything, Lord. I recognize there's nothing good about myself. The only goodness in my life is Christ in me. And I praise you. I bless you. Porataba karazitaba. Boratabaria. But thank you that Christ in me makes me 100% acceptable, righteous, holy, and perfect in your sight. I believe your word, Lord, that you have made me perfect forever because of Christ in me. Thank you that I do not have to fear the future. I do not have to fear judgment. I do not have to fear the time when I will see you face to face. Because I will not come in my own name, in my own power, or with my own deeds. I will come in the name of Jesus. I will come in the goodness of Jesus. I will come through the blood of Jesus. I will come because of what he has done. Nothing according to what I have done. And I praise you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that my reward will be because I trusted Jesus. My reward will be because I trusted in him to be all, my all in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sato bokarazitoba. Barata paria zato bokarazitari satoba. Now, Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. Put some legs on it, praise Lord. Because we realize we've got to walk in this. We've got to live this out. This is how you're calling us to be as a people, the body of Christ. Thank you, that's not a title, but a description of who we are. The body of people that are all living Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Kukarazato bakarazita. Come on. Just pray now. Edify yourself. Build yourself up. Pray in the Spirit. Purataparia zato bakarazita risato bakarazita. Baralabazuturi sataria lero bakarazita risandama. Boralabazuturi sataria lero bakarazita risandama. Brostakaria zito risato bakarazita risandama. Brostakaria zito risaratoria leto bakarazita risandama. Brostakaria zito risataria lero bakarazita risandama. Brostakaria zito risataria lero bakarazita risandama. Ombarazataria lero bakarazita barasata bakarazuta ba. Brostakaria zito risando bakarazita risatuba. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pura la basuturi satari elero bakarasiduba. Baratapari eleto bakarasituri sanduba. So, Lord, we pray for your church. We thank you that you love your church. Despite all its spots and wrinkles. And we pray, Lord, that your church will enter into its godly inheritance. The Lord, you would deliver your church from fashions of teaching and people getting involved in this and that and the other, and that your church will return to Christ. The Word of Christ and the Spirit of Christ working together in your body. And Lord, we know that that will lead to revival for a generation. Thank you, Lord, the life is in your word. The power is in your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you say you will build your church. We realize we can't, men can't, but you will build your church. when it functions as the body of Christ. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, just before we finish, I believe God is saying, right, will you follow me? Will you deny yourself, even the good things, so that Christ can be your focus in everything? Not I, but Christ. Not Christ with I. Not I, but Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that it's not my abilities that you need, but Christ's abilities in me. Thank you that it's only Christ in me that makes me usable. And thank you that that is true for each one of us. And we just give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. And we thank you that the work you've done in Christ Jesus is a perfect work and a completed work. And the scripture says we are complete in him. Hallelujah. 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 There's an old Pentecostal chorus. We are complete in him. Some of those old choruses were so good because they just verbalized great, deep, profound truths. It just went on, complete, complete, complete in him. We are complete in him. I mean, you start singing that over your life a few dozen times, and it begins to take root in your spirit. We are complete in him. Yeah, I like some of these new songs we have, but and it isn't that we need the old choruses, but we need some new ones that will just express these truths that we can keep singing over our lives again and again and again. Simple, profound, deep statements of truth. So thank him that you are complete in him. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you hear people say, we're a work in progress. No, no, no. We're a completed work. And we're learning to live in the completion of what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If I deny myself, I deny my works. And I acknowledge that all that matters is the works of Christ in and through me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give him a great big thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.